You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, March 31st, 2025, last day of March. Already almost time for April. That's right. If you live in the U.S., it's getting close. That deadline for paying your taxes. Always something nice and cheery to think about, but you are getting your money. You're getting your money's worth. Well, I don't know if you're getting your money's worth by paying your taxes, but you're getting your money's worth tuning in to Radio Albion for the Daily Nationalist. Well, once again, returning for Daily Mail Monday. We got a selection of random stories from the Daily Mail that I have picked out because I found them somewhat interesting. Thought it'd be fun to talk about. No, there will not be any royal family, Meghan Markle, or any of that sort of stories, which, as I always say, eliminates at least half or more of what's available on the Daily Mail. But nonetheless, have managed to find some things. Talking about what your tax money is paying for and things such as that. You have these events in the U.S. and you look back through history and you have these events that are turning points. And of course, one of those, for those of us with a little bit of age to us, we know about it. We lived through, and that is 9/11 when the terrorists struck America. And we're still living with it. You know, people jumped up and supported the Patriot Act because, you know, we got to clamp down these terrorists are after our freedom. Well, the terrorists maybe didn't take our freedom, but the Patriot Act and all the other crap that they passed after 9/11 seems to have done quite the job. Well, it's almost like they lied to us, didn't they? It's the same thing. People who, when we went through the COVID thing and people acted like all of this was like something new, but it's not. It's the same old playbook. They manufacture a crisis and then offer what they want to accomplish as the solution. You know, if they came out in 1998 and said, you know, we're going to implement all of these draconian rights violating laws, people would reject. That'd be hard to fathom. But see, they presented this psychic trauma, this mental trauma to the populace with the 9/11 thing. And then, voila, they got everything they wanted. It's always projected. They talk about the terrorists were going to take our freedom. They've explained to us how the hell the terrorists were going to take our freedom. No, as always, it is them who took our freedoms. One of the things I'm not going to say necessarily interesting, but one of the things is just observing the downfall of this empire, of this country, in real time. And you can't help but chuckle the people that talk about turning it around. Like, we could just tweak it. You know, talk about reforms. We got to have some reforms. Like, that's going to fix it. Like, it even should be fixed. First up, we got a headline. People are only just realizing what secret quadruple S code on your boarding pass means and why it's bad news. From trudging through long queues to organizing liquids and electronics to awaiting your bag getting the all clear after it's scanned, we can collectively agree getting through airport security can be a stressful experience. Well, if you're in the U.S., but if you come to notice a secret four-letter code on your boarding pass, it could spell bad news for those who hope for a brisk, seamless airport experience. Holidaymakers across the globe are beginning to realize what quadruple S means on their boarding pass, and some have even dubbed it the kiss of death. In short, quadruple S stands for Secondary Security Screening Selection, an extra thorough security check enforced by the TSA in the U.S. So in short, if you have this code on your pass, and they don't tell you how they generate this code, it's probably more or less at random, maybe less random. But regardless, if you have this, you're going to get the extra pat down. You're going to get the royal treatment. Before 9/11, there was no TSA. They had private security people that just stood around. You just got on the damn airplane. People can't even imagine that now, you know? They can't. They can't imagine that there was a time, not that long ago, it was in my lifetime, when if you were going to fly commercial, you just bought a ticket and got on the damn airplane. And we had no problems. You know, I mean, yeah, you have problems. But yeah, it wasn't like planes were falling out of the sky due to the terrorism. But we don't have that anymore. Now, it's worth knowing, again, the TSA, they created this government agency right after 9/11. And it bears pointing out that the TSA has a perfect track record of never once, not a single time, having stopped any sort of terrorism. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. All these people get paid to harass you. You don't have... You know, after 9/11, I've never flown commercial. Why? Because I believe we should have a right to not be searched without probable cause. And then this narrative that, oh, well, you still have that right, but not if you want to get on an airplane. Once you start that, then you don't have the right. You don't have the right to travel. That's a privilege, you see. Getting on an airplane isn't something that involves rights. That's a privilege. And so people surrender that, surrender their dignity, and allow themselves to be searched. You see, once again, if the people would have all made the decision, if everybody in the country or the vast majority of people in the country would have made the same decision that I did, that no matter how inconvenient it is, I'm just not going to do it any longer. The entire airline industry would have imploded and the government would have been forced to back off. But then again, if everybody would have collectively made the decision not to close their businesses, not to close their gyms, not to close their church, and not to wear no freaking ass mask during COVID, we might have wrapped that up a lot quicker than what we wound up doing. And oh yeah, nobody would have wound up taking, they would have had a hard time promoting the vaccine, wouldn't they? But as always, everybody just goes, well, I got to get on the airplane. So if they've got to strip search me, that's, I guess, the price I've got to pay. And it becomes normalized. And now people sit around and talk about, oh, well, if you get this code, then you're going to get extra security. And it doesn't accomplish anything. Well, it does accomplish something. Not what they're claiming they're doing it for, of course. It doesn't accomplish anything about keeping people safe. It does accomplish making people compliant, teaching people to comply. See, it becomes normalized. As I said, if you'd introduced any of this stuff in 1998, you know, the backlash would have been immense. People would not have accepted it. See, it's a training program. All of these things, they're training you. They train people to go along with it. Outlier, and enough do it that outliers such as myself and some of you, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You know, you and I, the few of us who aren't going to fly, aren't going to submit to that. It doesn't make a difference. There's not enough of us. If everybody would have collectively said, yeah, no, we're not. But you see, they had that narrative planted in the mind. Hey, this is just, it's necessary to keep us safe from the terrorists. And of course, as always, it's a lie. Let's stay with this theme, because our next story is major warning to travelers as new identification law looms with lines at DMVs stretching around the block. Frequent flyers are being warned to expect chaos at Department of Motor Vehicle DMV locations across the U.S. as the deadline to have a real ID for travel rapidly approaches. The Department of Homeland Security announced passengers must have the upgraded form of identification to board domestic flights without a passport by May 7th. You have to have a passport or this new form of federal government approved identification to travel domestically. Let that sink in. It is a form of passport. It's a lesser form, But they're saying you have to have your international passport or this what amounts to a domestic passport now to get on an airplane and travel around the country. Those of us who don't fly commercially, at some point there's going to does anybody doubt that at some point there are going to be checkpoints at state borders and you're not going to be allowed unless you can present your real ID domestic passport? Again, this all comes from 9/11. But wait times and a severe lack of DMV appointments has made applying for the real IDs before the deadline nearly impossible for some. The Real ID Act mandates state-issued IDs to meet federal standards, according to the U.S. Department of State. Real IDs will not only be needed to board flights, but also to enter federal buildings. The Real ID Act was passed in 2005 to federalize security standards for driver's licenses and other ID cards. It was a response to the September 11th terrorist attacks that took place 4 years before the bill passed. It's basically a domestic passport now. You have to wonder, don't you? Why are they so paranoid about? We never had any of this. We never had any of this before, and we didn't have a problem. We didn't. You could get on an airplane without being searched, without being scanned, without being probed, without being swabbed. We didn't have any problem. When you think of it rationally, and with if you're from the before time and you know this, you know what problem were they even solving? We didn't have a TSA. We didn't have a problem. We didn't have domestic passports. We didn't have a problem. So what are they getting ready for? It wasn't a problem before. They're not solving a problem now. So what exactly? I mean, you have to assume they're getting something in place for what is to come. I mean, because they're not addressing a real problem. I don't even see what they're accomplishing with this, aside from just training people to be compliant. But you have to think they're putting things into place for something that is yet to come. We don't know what it is yet. A while back, I had to get my driver's license renewed. And, you know, everybody warned me. They said, you got to go down. You better take your birth certificate when you go down to get my birth certificate. Well, I didn't want to waste a trip, so I went ahead just in case. And sure enough. And I'm like, but I have a driver's license that you issued with my picture on it. No, but that doesn't count as identification. And what's really funny is they changed the way they do the pictures for the driver's license. My previous driver's license had a nice color photo. You no doubt. That was me. Everybody did. This new Real ID driver's license, they take this picture, and I kid you not, it looks like some crap, you know, like from those old cameras with like the powder that for the flash from the old West, you know, those brown and white photos. It looks like that. You can't even tell who it is, hardly. I mean, it's just a brown photo. It's crazy. They're putting something in place. I don't know what. We'll know when the time comes. But it's effectively a domestic passport. At some point, I think we're going to see some sort of nationwide lockdown. Maybe they're anticipating the day when massive civil unrest comes around and they lock people down in the cities, lock people down in their towns, lock the state borders and don't let anyone travel. And if you are out and about, you better have your domestic passport. Like the meme of, show your papers. You're going to have that. I mean, they're putting this in place for something. You know, it's not accomplishing anything right now. So logic tells us that these are being put in place for something that is yet to come, which tells us it's all part of some sort of grand plan. And you can see the step-by-step compliance training. They got everybody trained to not get on the airport without the body scans and the pat downs and the what should amount, if the Constitution was real, something that shouldn't have passed initial muster at all through the court system. Notice that the courts magically found that was all constitutional, because after all, you can just simply choose not to get on an airplane. Voila, no violation of your rights. As if you shouldn't have a right to freely travel. Condition Now they're conditioning, they've conditioned everybody to these domestic passports, just like they conditioned everybody. Now there's part of the story I skipped over, you know, talking about how the reason it took so long, you know, they kept putting it off. And then with the COVID, they had to put it off because of the COVID. And I think they had to keep putting it off because they had run it through their systems. And it's like, well, people aren't ready yet. People aren't ready. After COVID, everybody was sufficiently trained in compliance that they were able to go ahead and push this through. I do. I think they run this through their algorithms and decide how much pushback there's going to be. And up to this point, there's been too much. This was passed in 2005. But every time they ran it through the simulator, it said, there's going to be too much pushback. This could be run into problems. So they just keep putting it off. And then after COVID, you know, again, in the story, they say, oh, it was supposed to have already taken place. But, you know, we had so much was going on with COVID. No, I think after COVID, their algorithm said, yeah, people are sufficiently trained in compliance now that you can go ahead and push this through. And they are. Again, they lie to us and tell us this is somehow to keep us safe. They're addressing problems that don't exist. Our next story up is kind of similar. You know, They talk about something that may or may not be a problem, you know, or you might initially look at it as a problem, but then they offer non-existent solutions and you make a full circle and you're right back where you started. Democrat city where defund the police caught fire makes shock move after tragic consequences. A councilman from a liberal city where defund the police gained significant traction has introduced a bill to completely sever ties with the movement. Seattle Councilmember Rob Saka, I think I'm saying that right, proposed Resolution 32167, which acknowledges the failures and reverses commitments made to defunding the city's police, according to a March 25th statement. This resolution reverses any prior commitment or pledge by past councils to defund or abolish the police, the Democratic councilman said in a council meeting, according to Fox News. We know that these statements were routinely cited by departing police personnel as a reason for leaving. We also know that they are very divisive. One of the bill's key provisions is to show gratitude towards the heavily scrutinized Seattle Police Department officers, as well as city firefighters and community assistant response and engage care workers. The resolution also recognizes the significant reforms made by SPD when it comes to use of force, crisis intervention, and data analytics. Another included goals are improving, this is just Daily Mail, right? I'm sorry. The police force's accountability system and diversifying public safety responses across the city's departments. When you start noticing this pattern of way to do things, the 9/11, the COVID, and now we get to the George Floyd, the George Floyd hoax. And it was a hoax. This was, again, a trauma introduced to the public psyche. You know, this obviously was not, how do I want to put this? You know, the reactions is what we saw were well planned in advance. Now, you want to argue that the actual George Floyd event, whether it was staged, planned out in advance, or if they just took this opportunity to press it forward. Setting all of that aside, it's a public trauma. The result of the events afterwards, the Black Lives Matter riots and whatnot. These traumatic staged events, this staged trauma, this trauma introduced into the public psyche to get people to go along once again, not to address problems, not to solve real issues that time and time again, it is they themselves have created. No, time and time again, they set this up to move forward with what they want. Here's how this is related. I'll clarify what I mean by this. There's a real problem with police in this country. There is. And, you know, all people driving around with their Blue Lives Matter flags and all the rest of this are in denial that there is a real problem with policing in this country. And guess what? Shock of shocks. Again, you can trace that back to 9/11. A lot of people miss that, too. You know, they'll talk about 9/11 as the new Pearl Harbor. We all were with the documents with that, you know, as regards to foreign policy. But as they say, foreign policy and domestic policy are very much, in a lot of ways, one and the same. People, a lot of people are aware of, you know, oh, well, that justified the invasion of, you know, the Iraq thing and Afghanistan and all of that stuff. And yet so many people are blind to what it involved domestically. Once again, the problem with policing in this country is traced back to 9/11. In the before time, you know, yeah, I mean, you always had, you know, cops that were assholes or whatever. That's just people. But by and large, there wasn't this huge problem. Yes, there were events. You know, there were things that happened, you know, that were controversial, like the Rodney King beating in Los Angeles. But this, what we saw after 9/11, they militarized the police. You know, if you're not old enough, you know, in the 90s, in the 80s, if you got pulled over for a cop and he walked up to your door, he wasn't wearing all of this body armor and plates and bulletproof this and that and tactical belt. You know, they were just dressed regular in uniforms. They weren't on steroids. They didn't have all these arm sleeve tattoos. We know after 9/11, they shifted the police in this country to the Israeli model. They literally brought in Israeli agents to start training police departments to this Israeli model to treat us all like Palestinians. This is why they give, one of the reasons why they give military veterans preferential hiring, not because, oh, we want to help our vets get a good job. No, because they already have the mindset. If they hired you or me or a reasonable person, we'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to treat people like that. That's stupid. You know, I wanted to take this job to kind of help maintain order. And maybe if I can help somebody out and keep them safe, I want to do that. No, that's not your job. Your job is to go out here and enforce your dominance. You know, they train them, you know, they used to train police in de-escalation. Now they train them in, you know, projecting that you're in charge. So they effectively escalate situations. We are, in a lot of ways, Palestinians under the system. They train the police on this Israeli model. They've militarized the police. This all came in after 9/11. This is a real problem. When you have what amounts to a domestic standing army, now we've got domestic passports. You see where we're going with this. And everybody's lost in the weeds, lost in the bushes, talking about, you know, tinkering around on the edge with these reforms. Look, this whole system is so far gone. So you have this problem with the police department. And people are starting to notice. There's something wrong. Why do we have these militarized police? Why do we have this thing where even small town police departments have armored personnel vehicles? Why do we have all these videos of these SWAT team guys hutting around with their helmets on and automatic weapons, throwing grenades into people's houses at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it winds up it's the wrong freaking house? Why do we have that? So you see, you get another trauma introduced with the George Floyd riots. And what do? They introduce this trauma with the BLM riots, which were planned, which were organized, and I'm sure on some level funded by the government via the USAID or whatever else. We know that much. So they plan out these events. We all saw the stories at the time where, you know, they were bringing in pallets of bricks for the protesters. I mean, this was planned. So you have the BLM riots. They introduce a new trauma to the public psyche. Now, you split the population. where people might have been noticing before, why do we have this militarized police? Why are they acting like the Israelis and we're the Palestinians? You know, people might be starting to notice it. So you split it. You see, you got the Blue Lives Matter people on the one hand, because they don't want to say White Lives Matter, but they say the blue line. They stand with the thin blue line because they view them as what's standing between this public trauma they're being presented. And then over here you have, for the left, you have a fake solution. Defund the police. We just need to defund and completely get rid of the police. There's your answer. And on its face, it's so absolutely absurd. You see, they use this public trauma to give you false choices, much like how the elections work. They create a trauma, offer you fake solutions. Oh, you've got riots in the street. Well, okay, you either support your hero police, who are the only thing standing between you and these Black Lives Matter people burning your house down with you inside of it, or we could just defund the police and not have police at all. We'll replace them with social workers. That'll work. And you can see how this works, because no real solutions ever come into the equation. Defund and abolish the police is such a stupid notion on its face. You can't believe anybody would ever take that seriously. And you see the discussion that needs to happen, which is, why are our police militarized? Why are they being trained on the Israeli model? How is this keeping us safe? Again, that tracks back to 9/11. Instead of having a discussion about that, which might actually lead to real reforms, real change. See, they create an event and give you a false choice. You either stand with our heroes in blue, or you have to stand over here with the, we'll just abolish and not have police and everybody will get along just fine, which of course isn't going to work. And you see, BLM is over now. The cities that went along like they were going to really do this, now they're, as we see in this story, they're rolling that back. We're not really defunding the police. And in fact, we're going to acknowledge that there are heroes. And you see, everybody's back to square one. The real problem, and there is a real problem in this country with policing. If you don't think there is, you're not paying attention. There's real problem with policing, and it could be fixed. They created this problem. They're not going to fix it because they don't want to. They created the problem for a reason. It's not ineptitude. It's not stupidity. It's like I say, you look at the handwriting on the wall, the trajectory, what they're normalizing. Now we all have to have a domestic passport. That's what real ID is. Now they've normalized a militarized police. They're getting ready for something. And you step back and look at the big picture. They're getting ready for something. They're going to continue to introduce new traumas. They're getting ready for something. I suspect they know at some point this ends in massive civil unrest, and they're going to have to be able to have these things in place. Present your domestic passport, submit to the militarized, get normalized with these militarized police. We're going to look like Gaza or something with these people patrolling around. There's a real problem with policing in this country. Wouldn't be hard to fix, but they're not going to fix it. They create a situation, the trauma, and divide everybody into groups. You either support my heroes in blue, or you can just want to defund the police and not have a police department at all. Both of which are just asinine, because the answer's in the middle and they don't want you there. You get to be in the Blue Lives Matter gang and the police are my heroes that can do no wrong and you thank them for their service. Or you can be over here in the camp that says we just don't need police. We'll replace them with social workers and everybody will be happy. Do you think a people that have allowed it to become normalized that you cannot get on an airplane and travel within this country, you cannot do that without a search of your persons, without being patted down like a criminal with zero probable cause, and they accept that as normal. If you can't, do you think there's really, I mean, how much are these people going to push back if you're not able to drive your car from, say, Texas to Oklahoma? And you can't, when you get to the border, you got to present your domestic passport. And if they pick you and put a quadruple S on your license plate, you're going to get pulled over to the side and they're going to search your car. They're going to pat you down. Sound outrageous? Well, it would have sounded outrageous in the 90s to talk about that happening at airports. You see, once this step is normalized, the next one will be normalized. They're just ready to go. There'll be people bitch and complain. They'll go through the formalities of a court hearing and some judge will say, oh, well, traveling from one state to another is a privilege. And then after that's normalized, traveling to the grocery store is a privilege. Traveling outside your house at all is a privilege. You got to present your documents. You got to be searched. There's terrorists out there looking to destroy our democracy values of who we are. Don't you know? It's an emergency. We've been attacked. The traumas, the excuses, they go on and on. And things just keep continuing to go in the same direction. And most people, most of those people around us, folks, they're oblivious to this. They haven't stopped to consider. They haven't stopped to consider the role they've played in feeding into all of this. They just keep going along with the theater, acting like it's all real. I can't help but chuckle when people talk about, you know, fixing this stuff, fixing these problems. It's not a problem, you know, like something's going haywire. Instead of the system is working exactly as it's designed. What we see around this failing, this isn't by accident. These are plans. These are plans that are being carried out systematically. And it's all leading us somewhere. And I, for one, I don't think it's leading us to anywhere good, anywhere we particularly are going to want to go. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you have a good week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday, of course, with his Orthodox Nationalists. I know all of you look forward to that. And Dr. Johnson will be here on Thursday with his daily Nationalist program. So be sure and tune in for all of that. I hope you have a great week. And as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.